Jeff Fitch, Pacific Integral, and thank you all for coming today. Why don't we just take a moment to take a deep breath and stop, as Roger Walsh recommended. Yeah, thank you. So I'm going to speak for the next 20 minutes or so about some work that we've been doing. We have Terry O'Fallon and Kim in the back. This grows out of the work that Terry and I have been involved with the Generating Transformative Change program for the last almost 15 years. And this talk today is really in the context of, like the last two talks, in the context of developmental work. But there's a couple things I want to highlight. One is this work that we're doing is really working in the kind of teal to turquoise and beyond territory. So it's really a kind of offering and engagement for like people in this room. And so there's some different considerations, both from the perspective that we bring to it and also the kind of engagement that we're doing. And secondly, what I want to do is just offer some kind of lessons learned or really kind of ethical considerations for doing this kind of work. Now, one of the things that I loved in Brother David's talk is he I don't know if you caught it, but he gave a kind of ethical principle in the middle of his talk. He said, he described ethics is the way to live in right relationship to the fact that we are all one. So I thought of that as a kind of background for this talk. I want to read this because I don't have time to go into the program, but this is a little snippet of text, and I put it up here even though I'm not expecting to read it, but I see everybody taking photographs of slides, so I thought I would throw this up. But I want to read this as a kind of expression or narrative that speaks to the essence of some of the work that we do. This is from a paper that Terry and Vanita Ramirez and I wrote for a previous ITP. So just take a breath and just take in these words. It says, opening and surrendering to the groundless ground of being at a profound level of human consciousness is one of the most precious and pleasurable experiences a human can have. It is beyond the self, and yet it includes all selves. And this is precisely why opening to this primal awareness as a leader and as a human being is so effective on every level, and why it rings true. It is the one element that unites us, the one that we can collectively share. Together, we consciously and collectively have the capacity to create new ways of being, of relating, of functioning as a species. We can allow new possibilities that meet the unprecedented requirements of our time while envisioning a more elegant and generative future for humanity and for all of life. Doing is done through us and by us, spontaneously, as a wakeful collective intelligence. In this way, it's effortless, an emergence of the one seeing itself through the many, an act of grace that follows the natural order of things. So just some little bit of practical information about what we're doing. So this is another take on the program. This has been our ongoing experiment in transformative change and evolution in consciousness. It's our own exploration. We don't claim to have any particular unique answers here or results, but it's been guided through some of the ethics that you might have taken in the last words. It's really exploring in Terry's model the metaware tier and some of the beginning capacities of that work. It's a deep dive program, so it occurs over months and four residential retreats. We've had over 25 cohorts on three continents and over 300 graduates. And one of the things that I hear over and over again about it is that this program really has a lasting and deep impact on people, and that people actually see that. And it's one of the things I'm most proud about with this work. So now what I want to do is I want to just go through kind of five topic areas which I think have been kind of interesting and kind of vexing areas that we've worked on over the last several years. So the first has to do with development. And I know, you know, there's a lot of information here about development, and I really recommend that you go see Terry and Kim's stuff and everything else that's been talked about. I'm not going to talk about any of the details about it, but more about just like what it means to actually take a developmental perspective. So this speaks a little bit to what Rob McNamara was pointing to in what he's talking about today. So one of the things that, you know, I love this picture because it kind of, you know, I could say like, this is a selfie of the integral community here. You know, it's like we have our head above the clouds. You know, it's the whole thing of like, is, you know, is higher better, and we see these developmental models, and they kind of start here and they go step up into the clouds. You know, and it provokes something in us, right? It brings forth this image that's actually deep in the psyche, right? It's like Jacob's ladder. We're on earth and we want to go up to heaven. And there's deep shadow and projections around this. So I've come to learn through beating my head against the wall over and over again with this work that this working with development, you know, has some of the same ethical considerations about other models, like the map is not the territory, but it also has some unique considerations because it taps into something deep in our shadows. So I want to give you just a couple of things that can correct for this. One is that model that goes up like this, like it's not true. Like the developmental model goes like this. That's what it goes like. I've witnessed this in my mother. I saw her, I didn't see her at birth, but I saw her from about here, like this, and then I saw her go, you know, from orange to amber, you know, to all the way down to purple, down to the life level, down to the matter level. That's what the developmental trajectory is. So all that stuff about like we're going into the sky, that's a kind of human dream. So that's one thing you can remember to correct for this. Okay? Am I doing on time? Okay, I'm gonna keep going. See me in the break if you want to know one other thing to do correct for developmental idealism, but that one right there is pretty good. So what I encourage you to do with development is not to see it as a window on the world, but to see it as a kind of lens, to see whatever comes up around it for you, for the world as you work with it, to actually use it for reflection. Okay. So another kind of, you know, kind of interesting, challenging area for us has been the interrelationship between development in the I and the we, you could say. So there's talk about we space. Olin at the keynote was talking about we need more I leadership in the we space. And one of the things that we started this program really focusing on the development capacities of individuals, and really saw how deeply important the we space was for that. But as you go deeper into later perspectives about the I and the we, the two begin to interpenetrate and really become not merged or fused, but coincident in a way that's complex. Okay, so the I never is separate from the we. And what that means is that you could say the collective is always limiting the individual. It's always liberating the individual. The individual is always limiting and liberating the collective. Those two go together all of the time. And so it provoked us to go deep into this sense of what's collective individualism, what's individual collectivism, how do these two actually expand and grow together. So two things I want to mention about that. One is that it's important to actually allow for both to grow together. So that means as you're evolving, you might, others might actually break out of wherever they are, and that creates chaos or change in the collective. At the same time, the collective may evolve, and that can perturb individuals. So it's important to hold both those evolutions simultaneously. Secondly, one of the things that we discovered is that collectives can become self-aware. Like, how do collectives evolve? Like, if you think about how you evolve, we typically kind of go into our own self-awareness, into a way of engaging ourselves that provokes change or engaging in life, and actually increasing our awareness as we go through that. But what does it mean for a collective to actually become aware? Like, we have a group of people here. What would it mean for you all to actually become collectively aware? So we work a lot with those practices and look at collective shadow, which is a way of seeing how shadow exists in any collective, how we condition each other. So as soon as you come into the room, we each fall into certain implicit agreements and ways of being with each other, and how can a collective become aware of that and change that? Okay, I just want to mention three more topic areas. So this says, become vulnerable to the heart in you and others. And so what I mean by that is something more akin to what's sometimes called the spiritual heart, the place of presence in ourselves, the place of awareness, but that place which actually becomes full, which comes into presence. And this is now, I'm going to just use my own language for this because it's now getting into territory that's, you know, it's a bit poetic to speak about this. Raise your hand if you're familiar with Otto Scharmer's theory U. Anybody in here? Okay, so a few folks. Yeah, most of you. So partly what I mean here is that we're all presencing ourselves and each other and what's next in every moment. And that's actually, you can see that in individuals and collectives as a kind of unfolding path, an unfolding unique future that wants to emerge. And as we exhale into deep emptiness and we presence what's next, that very fine sense of what's next is what I mean by the heart. It's actually our coming into being, our continuous coming into being. And if you meet each other and meet yourselves in groups and individually, and you have a sensitivity to that, then you can actually engage continuously in this kind of transformative process. Six minutes, about all the time in the world. Yeah. The second thing I want to say about becoming vulnerable to the heart, and this is kind of more of an ethical invitation, is that we take each other seriously, that we take this moment seriously, and that we mount a kind of insurrection against cynicism. Okay? You know, that part of us that comes into the room and says, I'll check out this thing and see if it's any good. You know, I'll wait. I'm going to wait and see what Irina does, and if she does something, I'll follow along. Or that part of us that says, it won't work. That we actually, because there's something deeper than that in us, that comes alive when we allow ourselves to become vulnerable to the heart. So this is another kind of just perspective to be aware of and to kind of correct for, in a way. Terry is a beautiful practitioner of this one, showing up and participating in the future that wants to emerge. Like when we come to something like this, there's a context that's very subtle, and when you do any kind of developmental work, it's always there in the background, which is that this is for preparation. Right? So imagine that you put on a program and you say, this is a preparation program. And then you go through that and you go to another one and you say, well, that was a great preparation program. I'll go to another preparation program. It's a little subtle context that's always present. So I know that each one of you has something that you're up to in your life that really wants to emerge, that feels like it's on the edge there. And this invitation here is when you see that and when you work with others that see that and feel that, to actually step into it. That there's an aspect of our life, you know, Heidegger had this term, there's a thrown-ness to our being. Like we're thrown here. We're thrown here in this kind of context and time that's for us to express ourselves in our own full colors and our own complexity and challenges. So this is really about stepping forward this. And in our work, the real practical application of this is continuously as we're preparing, we step out and we take action in the world and we screw up and we experiment and we flounder around in the dark and we enact as we're learning, always. Okay, one last point. Okay, before I do that, I want to go back to the last one, make sure I haven't missed anything. Yeah, okay, I can speak to it here. This is really, I think this is, for me, a kind of invitation for, I'm trying to remember where I heard it this morning. Oh, I heard when the gentleman who spoke of near-death experiences, he talked about not drawing conclusions. You know, this is an invitation to always seeing your own models about life, about each other, because even if we don't write them up on flip charts and PowerPoints, we all have our models of each other. Seeing our own cognitive maps of reality of the world thinly. Allow them to be transparent. Hold them and then meet the territory and stand in between it with a question. Like what, you know, to be open, to receive, to be present. So it's really a practice to me of holding our ideas, our concepts lightly, to really watch out for hubris and spiritual narcissism, as Jorge Ferrer said. A friend of mine talks about this as poetics. You're standing between theory and practice, and inside there is the emergence of poetry. So my invitation with this last point is to hold your theories lightly, hold yourself lightly, and stand in between that and reality, and see where the poetry is there. Thank you.